You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome. Glad you are with us. I'm Brian Noonan. It is Daybreak. Jamie is off this week. She'll be back with us next Monday. Big show. Lot to get to. Lot to cover. Always more fun, though, when you are involved. 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. That's how you text. That's how you call. That's how you share your opinions, because we want to hear from you. And by we, I mean myself. And then, because Jamie's out, Frank, don't worry, Frank is here, so we will have Swiper stay at 720. Good morning, Frank. And if you're watching on the stream, you may be looking in the Boyquarium and saying, hey, wait, that's not Parker. Parker has taken the day off today, Frank. I don't know. His work ethic is a little questionable.
It's askew.
But Aaron is sitting in, and Aaron, welcome to the show. Welcome to the Boyquarium. We're glad you're with us. We appreciate you jumping in to cover for Parker today.
Yeah, somebody's got to hop in the fish tank and pick up after the slacker.
Yeah, we don't these kids today, Frank, with their work ethics.
We should have granted him the day on, like, the condition that he calls in right at the start of the show.
Oh, he's, well,
just to break up his sleep.
Yeah, but he was sick yesterday. He wasn't feeling well, and he had some event last night and with his old college pals. So I guess, you know, I've changed. Back in the day, I would have taken a day off. If I had days off, like there's been very few jobs I've had where I actually had paid days off. Mm-hmm. So that kind of frames how I look at PTO.
Right.
The fact that I'm still like, because radio, I don't know if people will know this, a lot of radio jobs, you don't get PTO. And a lot of people are saying, well, in our jobs, I don't get PTO either. So I empathize. I know what you mean. So you're very careful about when you take a day off. In my younger days, if I had had like 3 weeks, I would have probably burned them by February. They would have been, I I'm tired today. I'm not going in.
I was going to say, on what? Just,
I don't know, just sloth. That's what
that's like me. Well, yeah, that's me in college with the attendance policy. How many days do I get? I'm tired.
Right. I mean, I have plenty of PTO, and it is going to expire because I don't know. I just don't use it enough. I feel bad.
Sommers, take your days.
Not now, like starting tomorrow. You can't.
Yeah,
don't encourage
your
Frank. He's going to look at his watch and go, you know what? Technically, the workday hasn't started for a lot of people, so I'm going to take today. And he just bails. We don't need that.
This is a PSA for Zommers and a lot of people out there. If you're lucky, if you're privileged enough to have paid time off, take your damn days.
Yeah.
Even if it's just here or there. Take a Friday.
Yeah.
Zommers, take Friday off.
I don't know if I can this Friday. Well, maybe. We'll see.
You can.
Okay. Well, yeah. What do you got to do?
No, what do you mean? You
can't.
Well, I know Thursday I'm filling in for Dom. So, I mean, I need to make sure there's nothing pressing for Friday.
Brian,
Dom taking days off too?
These kids.
All right. Listen.
Yeah, Dom's moving on Thursday, so.
He's got like one suitcase and a grocery bag.
Yeah, what do you mean?
What's he got?
I don't know. I guess.
He's a young kid.
He didn't ask for help, so there is that.
That's good.
You know what?
No.
That's really good, because there's nothing worse.
No. Well, he's still of the age, though, where you can ask people, where you ask your buddies to help you move. I think it was when I moved into my first house, which was a small house, and we didn't have a lot, we were moving from an apartment. I still did it with a truck and my buddies. After that, I was like, nope, that's why there's professionals, and we don't.
It's just so
there's
damn
certain
expensive
things you age out of, and asking your friends to move is definitely one of them. Plus, going out in the middle of the week and getting ripped is another one.
Yeah, that's
God.
That's
I couldn't
one
even imagine the last time I did that.
Yeah,
that's
I can't
one that
either.
I'm not never been a fan of.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm supposed to meet today's a good friend of mine's birthday, and I'm supposed to meet him later. And I'm just thinking like, oh, and it's an early an afternoon thing, but I'm still just a thought of going out on a work night. Considering yesterday I came up here to prep the show and I fell asleep sitting at the computer. I was sitting
time?
Just
5 o'clock.
I came up here at 3. I fell asleep at like 4.
Oh, really? I was joking.
No.
But you're serious.
Oh, yeah. I'm 100% serious. I may be narcoleptic or just sleep deprived, but
probably a little bit of both. Do you remember when we had our like team outing at the hockey game?
I do.
And I was like, I'll have a couple of drinks with my counterpart, Nightlight's senior producer.
Right.
I was like, nothing crazy. I did not fully send it, but I was have a couple drinks.
Yeah.
It snowed a little bit. I'll wait for Uber fares to go down to get back to my hotel. But still, I think I gave myself maybe 4 to 5 hours of sleep.
Not enough.
Not enough, but also I woke up and it was a winter wonderland.
Yeah, that was a rough morning, just weather-wise. Because it was early January or mid-January when we did that.
And it wasn't supposed to snow.
No.
And I just remember driving my car and I'm like, I am probably going to be late on my only time I have to come into this studio. And I still left like an hour to get from this hotel that was 20 minutes away.
Yeah,
and I think I walked in 2 minutes before air.
No, you get to a certain age, you got to get some sleep. But I want to go back and I just want to ask if you have time off. Do you use it? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, because we get a few that roll over. So I want to make sure I have that to roll over. And I don't know why I'm going to roll them over, just because in my mind I'm like, it's better to bank them. In case, what if something happens, Frank? What if I have some tragedy befall me and I need to take a few extra days?
Well, yeah.
And
I mean,
burned them off doing stupid stuff.
No, you leave yourself a couple. Zomers, how many do you have, if you don't mind us asking?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Civic Media, when I started, the company had just started, and there were a couple things that were overlooked. The PTO policy was one of them, so it had infinite rollover, and I've taken almost none during my time here. So I have a stupid amount.
What's the number?
It's in hours and not days, so I don't exactly remember.
Are we in like months? Like, would you have months off if you decided
like
to just cash them in?
Probably a month.
Or at least close to it.
Wow, nice.
So it's going to be hard to even take that all off.
No, it's...
No, you have to go to HR now.
Take all of December.
You just got to play the game. You got to ask if these can be sold to other employees.
Now,
buyback program.
If I ask about a way to take them off, I'm sure that's something we can do. But if I ask about a way to sell them to other employees, I think my name gets put on a list somewhere.
I'm sure it does, but it never hurts to ask. Always ask.
You could just donate them to your favorite coworkers.
That's true. I can make Parker and Dom fight over it and see which one of them wants to eat. Well, but then I have to sub in for them, so that's actually very helpful.
Yeah, don't sell it to them.
Somebody
Alicia says, I definitely use my time. I do roll over the 60 hours I'm allowed to roll.
There you go. See, it's a different mindset. We've talked about this before. So it's one of those things. Back to this. How long is the right amount, guys? Because you have friends, I'm imagining, and I've got to. I don't have to. I don't feel obligated. It's not obligation. I want to go have a drink with him on his birthday, but it's like, how long do I have to stay so I don't look like a jerk?
Two drinks.
Then I'm home.
No, I think it's two drinks and you're home.
I think two is the number.
What was that?
I think two is the number, unless they're taking shots.
We're not getting too crazy.
Are we doing
two beers or two?
Well, we were gonna go to a bourbon place, but that's closed on Tuesday. So now it's a bar that has a happy hour from 3 to 6. So, you know, usually when I go there, it's a couple pints.
Is it just the two of you?
I don't know how many people, if other people are meeting him. I hope there's other people because then I can duck out.
Two pints, Irish goodbye. That's my...
Even if it's just he and I? I just disappear? That doesn't seem possible.
There's a couple more. Okay. I think if there's like five or six people, you can Irish goodbye it.
It would be funny if it's just you two and you're like, I got to go to the bathroom and just never come back.
Just
dip. Leave them with the bill, everything. No, I think I do. Excuse I think me. Two beers.
All right.
And then you do the, well, you know, Debbie's not home. I got to get back to the dogs.
Get back to the dogs. I got to get home for, you know, because I'm old and I'm tired and I've got a show to put together.
You got homework.
I got homework.
Got to feed the hog.
Oh, man. Always got to do that.
Got to see a man about a horse.
Did Zomers a little more? Do you think Zomers is a little more keyed into your references than Parker is? Zomers, Parker, just so you know, Parker doesn't know any of our references because we're old men.
I think anybody in the world is more keyed into our references than Parker. I don't think Parker's watched anything.
It does not seem that way.
What does he do?
Parker's got, dude, Parker just nods his head and we go, have you seen that? No. Do you know what that is? No.
Yeah, he, all right. I don't know. He watches a lot more sports than I do though. So I don't really get a lot of that.
That's true. He does have all the sports references.
I know. We just don't have a lot of D3 football references on the show for him.
Well, that's whose fault is that?
Not nearly enough.
He could always jump in with that. Roger says, my wife is jealous that I have more PTO than she does, but still use them. I try to bank 4 weeks. Bank 4 weeks? But have to use floating holidays by the end of the year. Holy cow. Wow. 4 weeks to bank.
So banking a month. That's crazy.
And then he's still got other days.
I started here.
Wow, that's a lot. Good for you, Roger.
I finally checked my PTO because you have to, like, accrue time off, right?
Yeah.
So I checked beginning of this year. Now, when I got hired here, I had a pre-planned vacation to Europe. So I was off for like 10 days. So I checked my account and I was in the negative. And I was in the negative for like a month or so. And I was like, if I need any time off,
you owe us time.
Beyond screwed.
You owe us time, pal.
So
I remember the first job I had that I got PTO, because radio in smaller markets, like when I started, you didn't get PTO. And then even at a couple places where I was like the independent contractors don't get PTO. Mm-hmm. And doing stand-up, who's going to give me PTO? Myself. But the first day I took off and I thought, wow, I'm getting paid for this. I'm getting paid today and I'm not doing anything. That is the greatest feeling in the world. Mm-hmm. Now I'm miserly. And again, I don't know what I'm going to use them for. I have no idea. But this is the problem. I think I think when you have kids, it becomes more important that you have them to use them as things come up. Because when you have kids, they're getting sick or they've got this or they got, and you're like, oh, and then you're like, but I want to take a vacation. Sorry, man. We just don't, you don't have any more days. But right. Now we have our days. So we're not using them. We're here today. We hope you are going to join in at 855-75-CIVIC. Why are so many Americans losing trust in major news events? We'll talk about a new poll coming out after this. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Fairly solid, better than expected. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. That one always makes me smile. Jamie's out this week. She's doing some business for the company, but I am here with you and you are here with me. So jump in 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I want to know your thoughts on this. Why does it seem like so many Americans are losing trust in major news events? Now, we've talked about conspiracy theories before, and I've mentioned to you that I never was a big conspiracy guy. I usually would listen and go, oh, okay, maybe one point of this conspiracy theory makes sense. But then if you follow things down the road, normally the whole conspiracy falls apart. Well, more and more people are buying into it. And I think my opinion, part of it is we get lied to and gaslit so much by this current administration that we don't know what to believe. Well, most of us know what to believe, but it's still hard to not look at things and go, boy, this is seeming more and more fishy by the moment. The reason I ask you this is because about 1 in 4 Americans think the April shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner was staged with a marked partisan divide, according to a new survey published yesterday. Now, we talked about this when it happened, and at first I was questioning some of the logic. And I went through, and like a lot of you, I watched videos, I read different accounts, I watched stills of things, and I was really starting to question. So I may have fallen into this part of the 1 in 4. But I think after a few days and looking at things again, I kind of went to the other three, and I joined that other group. And I thought, now, this wasn't set up, but maybe some other things were. Anyway, in this new survey that was published yesterday, roughly 1 in 3 Democratic respondents said they believed the event was staged, compared with about 1 in 8 Republicans. Now, that's according to this survey by NewsGuard, which is a company that rates the reliability of online news outlets. And we know, you know, if you have been on the internet, which of course you have, there's a lot of unscrupulous sites out there, if I may try to be as diplomatic as I can while talking about, you know, sites that are based in misinformation. So NewsGuard goes out and they rate these sites, and they're the ones who did this poll. And, you know, where are you falling on this? Do you find yourself trusting news events much less? And when did it start for you? Did it start in January? Did it start in 2020? Did it start before? Have you always been skeptical of what you've heard on the news? So anyway, respondents for the survey were between 18 and 29. They were also more likely than older people to think the incident was staged, according to this report. So I don't know, maybe older people just like, we don't care anymore.
Well, whatever. It to me, at least, that makes sense, because they might have grown up with a Walter Cronkite or equivalent, where you got somebody in your room who you know there's a lot of work behind to make them trustworthy. And now I've never really felt like I had that.
Well, you haven't. You know, the voice for America, whether it's going all the way back to like Edward R. Murrow or Walter Cronkite, like you mentioned, you look at the old anchors like Dan Rather. And then when we heard, like, I think Ted Koppel may have been the last of that breed, because then you remember all the scandals with Brian Williams and making things up about, you know, or not, wasn't it Brian Williams? It was Tom Brokaw. No, I don't know. One of those NBC guys who had made up some stories about being in a helicopter and all that, and things started to erode. And then during Watergate, people started thinking, it was Brian Williams. Thank you, Frank. Sometimes I doubt my own recall, which is probably just. Zomers, you don't know me that well. Sometimes I imagined a whole swath of the world, and I don't know what they are. John says, he chimes in at 855-75-CIVIC. You can too. Why are so many Americans losing trust in major news events? John's listening on WISS, and he's in Oshkosh. Because we have a president who claims everything is fake news while simultaneously doing everything he claims others are doing to him, the projector in chief. He does seem to project. And he is, I don't remember the term fake news before Donald Trump. It may, if it was out there, I mean, there were people who were skeptical of the news, but every story was not labeled fake news. Anything you didn't agree with was not labeled fake news. It was just something you could say, well, that's BS, but you knew it was, there was a semblance or a seed of truth in it. So last week, you know, a federal grand jury indicted the alleged gunman, charging Cole Thomas Allen with 4 felonies, including the attempted assassination of President Trump. Soon after the incident that led to his arrest, conspiracy theories began to spread online that falsely claimed the Trump administration staged the incident. The NewsGuard survey found that 24% of U.S. adults believe the incident at the Washington Hilton was fake, compared with 45% who believed it was legitimate. That's still not even half the respondents who think it was real. So that's kind of strange. An additional 32% said they were unsure. Yes, because we live in times where we're always being gaslit, so you never know what to believe. The survey of 1,000 American adults was conducted by YouGov. It's very striking, said an editor at NewsGuard. The results underscore broader skepticism that Americans feel toward the government and the press. Increasingly, people on all sides of the political spectrum are distrustful of both this administration and also the media, but willing to trust unverified information they see online. Do you fall into that camp? I try very hard. Now, I've made no secret of the fact that I don't trust most of what's coming out of this administration, only because of track record. If you're lied to enough times and you don't then start to believe that everything coming out of someone's mouth is a lie, then you're gullible. And I don't care if that's in a personal relationship. I don't care if it's the government talking to you. I don't care who it is. If you don't learn your lesson, then you're going to just repeat it. All right. Well, we've got other things to repeat, mostly that somebody's going on TV in the administration. We'll get to that. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Here we go. Good morning. I am Brian Noonan, and Jamie's out this week, but she'll be back next week. Have no fear. That way you can jump in and talk to me now. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Do some of the things that members of this administration do actually help the president and the administration's image, or are they a distraction from the biggest issue? The reason I ask is, you know our transportation secretary, Sean Duffy, former lumberjack, former reality TV personality. I hate to use star because, you know, he was on what, Road Rules or whatever. I don't know how you become a reality star. I mean, the Kardashians I would put in that level. Maybe some of the Housewives. I've never seen one of the Housewives show, but I know they get bandied about a lot. And that's about it as far as reality TV stars, in my opinion. So he is coming back to reality TV. Now, he has not been fired by the administration. He has not resigned. He is still transportation secretary. And yet he has decided it would be a good idea to make a TV show with his family called The Great American Road Trip. It is a 5-part reality series, and it's going to air on YouTube in celebration of our 250th birthday. It shows Sean Duffy and his family, who is a Fox News anchor, in case you did not know. They are traveling across the country with their 9 children. 9 children. Every clip I've seen so far, it's 2 kids in a car. So I don't know if they're taking their kids shift by shift, if they had somebody airlift them across the country and say when they get to Omaha, they drop 2 off and exchange them for 2 others. Who knows? But 9 kids, 1, that's a lot of children. 2, it's a packed car. Now, I've been on road trips with my family when I was a little kid because we never flew because there were 5 of us plus my parents, and they just didn't have that money for airline tickets. So we would drive from Chicago out to the East Coast or down to Florida or whatever. And I love a good road trip now. Man, I hated those road trips then because somebody was always having to sit. This is something you guys don't have to worry about anymore. But, or maybe you do, the hump. Whoever was sitting in the back seat in the middle had to sit with the hump.
Oh,
so that
yeah.
They're, yeah, you didn't want the hump seat. Or when we would, when we got a station wagon, you got to sit in the way back. And then you got to look out at the other cars and maybe make some obscene gestures. So your dad was like, why is that guy beeping at me? I don't know, Dad.
That one I didn't.
Yeah,
do,
those were not fun.
Yeah, when we
were you a hump guy, Zomers?
For better or for worse. No, unfortunately, yeah, when we took my dad's truck, someone had to sit on the hump, and my sisters usually complained enough that it was me. My younger sisters, and I am 6'2", and I was pretty tall, pretty young.
How did you allow that to happen?
I guess I was just too nice to my sisters. I don't know. And so I sat there with my head touching the ceiling. I'm like, this is the worst.
This is horrible. That's a horrible story. It hurts my head just to hear it. But I do admire your sibling love. I don't have that. With my brothers and I would have fought to the death to not sit on the hump. Like, literally, there would have been blood. But anyway, so they're going on this trip. And Rachel Campos Duffy is Sean Duffy's wife's name. She is a Fox News anchor, as I mentioned. The motto of the show is, to love America is to see America. That part of this I agree with. So Sean Duffy goes on to say it's more than a road trip. It's a civic experience. It's one of the most powerful ways to understand vast, beautiful, complicated place that we call home. Here's the problem, and I want to know if you agree with this. A lot of critics are saying that this is tone deaf. We are in a time where gas is almost $5 a gallon. There, we are at war. Let's not forget that. We don't know what's going to be happening with tariffs. Everything is costing us more. And a guy who is supposed to be dealing with the fact that, you know, the airports are a mess, the roads, the infrastructure needs work, everything that goes along with being the transportation secretary was put on hold for him to do this show. I don't know why this administration is so hooked on social media and being out in front and being visible in ways that they don't need to be visible about. They don't need to be posting on Instagram and Facebook. They don't need to be hosting and participating in a reality show. They need to be focused on what's going on in this country because there is a lot going on. Rights are being stripped away from women. Rights are being stripped away from voters. Again, a war that we had no decision on, that we have no reasoning why we're really there or how we're going to get out of it. You name any of the myriad of problems that are going on in this country, and we have one of the cabinet members deciding he's going to do a little TV show. Lynn jumps in from Golden Valley. She says, bet his road trip is partially taxpayer-funded. They probably have a 12-seat van. One of my colleagues has one, plus 8 or 9 kids. Yeah, two parts to your comment, Lynn. That's probably true, the second part. They do need some sort of giant vehicle. Now, that's one of the criticisms. Who's paying for this? Well, they say, Sean Duffy said, that the show's production costs were covered by a nonprofit group, the Great American Road Trip, Inc., not the taxpayers, and that neither he nor his family received a salary or production royalties. His spokesperson said that covered costs included gas, car rentals, lodging, and activities, and that taxpayer funds were used only for official government travel. Okay, well, what, in the middle of the show, if he had to actually do his job? All right, well, that's the problem becomes, since we're talking about who paid for this, some of the sponsors of this show are companies that Sean Duffy has to help regulate. So Boeing, Toyota, Shell, Royal Caribbean, United Airlines, those are all overseen by the Department of Transportation, of which Sean Duffy is the head. So he has to regulate these. Comcast, NBC Universal, also listed as one of the sponsors. Now, that does not fall, obviously, Comcast does not fall under the Transportation Department, but could be seen by some, and not in a wild stretch of the imagination, as a little bit of a conflict of interest. But when has that stopped anybody in this administration from doing something? Just because something seems untoward doesn't make it untoward. But the biggest The biggest criticism is that it is tone deaf. They're saying with gas at more than $4.50, like I said, up roughly 50% since the war started. People are just comparing it to going on a foodie tour during the Great Depression. Another commenter wrote, Americans are struggling to afford gas and groceries, but these two reality TV and Fox News stars are treated to free trips with celebrity visits and a cruise. Read the room, Mark and Marie Antoinette. Very clever. But you may be thinking, well, okay, those are just disgruntled YouTube commenters. There's always people talking smack on YouTube. You can talk smack here, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, if you want to jump in with your feelings about this. I'm sure you have some. So the former Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, you know him, he was among the first prominent voices to weigh in on this. Pete said, quote, I love a good road trip, but this is brutally out of touch. A Trump cabinet member making a documentary about himself while regular families can't afford road trips anymore because Trump and his war put gas prices through the roof. That was a statement that Pete put out on X. I tend to agree with this. It baffles me, and I know I said this before, but it's worth repeating, and I'd love to get your opinion on it. Why are they so fixated on being not doing their job and doing all these ancillary projects to make themselves look cool? Remember Christy Noem? She was always in these commercials. You know, Kash Patel now is making bourbon and giving it to staff members. They're always on social media. They have to be the first to post, which has led to numerous issues of bad information being put out there because they have to get online. And the president conducts diplomacy online or on social media. It's ridiculous. And this is just, there's plenty of ways. How about if you want to celebrate America's 250th, how about you get some real American families and you have them go on road trips and you follow them and maybe you splice it together and somebody from the West Coast does a Midwest road trip and somebody from the Midwest goes down south and you do it that way. And it's not, hey, look at me, I'm so cool. And, you know, would people watch that? I don't know. How many people are going to watch this? Do you plan on watching Sean Duffy and his wife and their 9 kids travel around the country? We all know this is a highly glossed up production that doesn't relate to real road trips. They're not going to be, imagine, so let's say you leave Madison and you want to head out to Washington. Not D.C., but the state. You're gonna go up, you're going to go through the Badlands and stuff, and there's going to be a lot of cool stuff to see. And yeah, maybe they'll stop at a few of the touristy spots, but it's not a real road trip. I want to see a family having a meltdown because they've been in the car for 6 hours, and the kids all have to go to the bathroom, and dad blew past the last gas station even though the sign said no more gas for 50 miles, so he's white-knuckling the steering wheel because the gas is on E and it's starting to go lower, and he does that tap. He'll tap on the glass over the gas gauge, even though that doesn't do anything, but we've all seen it. Other Democratic politicians, including Governor Pritzker from Illinois and Governor Newsom from California, have noted the air travel accidents that have occurred on Duffy's watch while he was filming. So they are echoing the criticism. We had a plane hit a guy on a runway the other day. We had a plane hit a delivery truck last week. Yeah, maybe pay attention to what's going on in the airports. But that's me. We can, you know, what are we going to do? We got to let these folks do what they got to do. They're out there running around. So the Department of Transportation told ABC News that the Great American Road Trip, Inc. is an independent organization. And how and who they accept donations from in furtherance of their mission to celebrate America's 250th birthday is their decision. Yeah, but you're a government official. You are a cabinet member. You need to look into this. You can't just deny all knowledge and wash your hands of any accountability and say, well, listen, they are allowed as a nonprofit to get whoever they want to sponsor it. You, though, as the person who regulates some of these sponsors, have to recuse yourself from this and say, no, maybe you get a different cabinet member. Maybe you do something else. Well, I'm the only one who has reality TV experience. Who cares? You can't do it, but he's doing it anyway. All right. Now, since we're on TV and reality TV, and we're actually streaming, but since we're talking about TV, there is a channel that is coming out of Wisconsin that they say is educational, but feels a little bit exploitive. We'll get to that and so much more. Don't forget, you can always go to Spotify, subscribe to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie, and get all our podcasts, all the shows you may have missed, and you can download the free Civic Media app. So go and do that and take us wherever you are. We'll be back with more. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. It is, what day is it? Tuesday. Yes, it's Tuesday. It's 6:52. We're glad you're with us. I'm Brian Noonan. And by when I say we, I mean Frank and Aaron helping out today. Well, Frank's always here. Aaron jumped in for Parker today, so we're glad he's with us. And glad you're with us, too. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Where is the line or lines between educational, entertaining, and exploitive? And sometimes those lines are blurred. Sometimes it's a Venn diagram where things intersect in the center and something can be a little of all of them. And this story is not, I think it's two of the three. So educational, entertaining, or exploitive. You be the judge. Let me know. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. There was a Wisconsin-based YouTube channel, and it's called Code Blue Cam. It's got more than 3 million subscribers. Oh, that's our goal, to get 3 million subscribers. And it has 1.5 billion total views. You can scroll through the page. You find video after video featuring high-speed chases, arrests of erratic drunk people, guns drawn at suspects, and sometimes violent events. So it is an updated version, basically, of the old show Cops. I don't know if you remember the show Cops. When that first came out, man, you couldn't get enough of it. It was insane because we had never seen that before. We had never had access to not only... there weren't really body cams. These were full-fledged TV crews that followed police officers around, rode with them, and were on the scene when things were happening, and people gobbled it up. I remember watching it when they first started running, and I could not wait to see Cops. Well, this channel ups the game because now it's on the internet. They can get stuff from everywhere. The channel's content is drawn exclusively from police body camera video obtained via open records requests, then edited to show the most lurid, embarrassing, or sensational moments. It frequently features footage from La Crosse and other Wisconsin cities. So you want to see your neighbor getting pulled over for drunk driving and then, you know, doing whatever it is that they're going to do. Could be right here. The edited clips are presented with dramatic music and voiceover, jokes that mock arrestees, mugshots, sirens, and more. Now, this is Code Blue Cam is one of the internet's largest and most successful body cam video channels. In the header, the site claims its focus is, quote, on education and informing the public rather than on public shaming or ridicule. And that is the crux of the quandary here today. Just what I've told you about this now, what do you believe is the educational value of this? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I will go on record and say that I see zero educational benefit of this. Do I see entertainment benefit? Unfortunately, yes, 100%. I got to be honest, I watched a little yesterday when I saw this story. I'm hooked. I love it. I love watching people do stupid stuff. I enjoy, you know, now granted this, I know the argument. I know what you're going to say. Brian, this paints police in a really good light. You know, some police do horrible things. I know. Yes, I know, and I talk about those things too when there's police misconduct. I talk about it. I don't enjoy that. That's not entertaining to me. But some of this stuff is, and they've made it entertaining. But is it educational? No. No, I don't really believe that. Those who have studied the site agree with me. They say it feels like the opposite. Some of the titles of the video on the page include, all right, tell me how educational this is. Drunk teen ruins his life in minutes over girlfriend. When you're too drunk to realize you crashed into a cop, and neighbor from hell finally gets a visit from police. What's the educational value?
I will say the first one, I can see a modicum of educational value. Like, you know, don't get so upset over things. Don't get so worked up and don't drink your feelings away. The rest of them, though, no education at all.
Is this the place to find that lesson, though, Aaron? That's a good lesson.
No, absolutely
not. I agree with you. That is a fine, fine lesson. I don't think it should be sandwiched between neighbor from hell finally gets a visit from police and when you're too drunk to realize you crashed into a cop.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
It's like I'm looking to help myself make better decisions. Oh, here are guys making really horrible decisions. So the audience for Code Blue is huge. So is the revenue. The channel makes around $100,000 a month from videos alone. In a few years, the account's founder has turned Code Blue into a media company with an editing and writing team. They are LJ. So as of 2025, the site has even partnered with the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, the state's largest law enforcement agency. They've also donated $10,000 to help the group. Researcher Matthew Clark, who has written about Code Blue Cam, says being featured in one of those videos was rock bottom for somebody he knew. And yeah, you don't want to be on the internet at your worst moment, because some people make those kind of mistakes all the time, and their life choices are not the best. Some people have one really bad day, and if you want to be caught in perpetuity on the internet on your really bad day, I know I would not want to do that. The researcher went on to say the moments on YouTube for however many more years, potentially the rest of your life, and you don't want your kids someday Googling your name and all of a sudden coming up with the fact that, oh my gosh, that's my dad.
Yeah.
Why isn't he wearing pants? Why is he being dragged out of a squad car?
I would say this is a great example of just because something's legal doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah. Or let's not couch it as anything other than it is. It's exploitive entertainment. And we all love that. That's why the daytime talk shows back in the day were so big. Everybody loves a car crash, unless they're the one in the car. On the other side of the news, oh my gosh, it's the top of the hour. That means we've got some you need to know. A lot of big stories and a lot more to come in the second hour. Don't forget to check out our new social media pages on Instagram and Facebook. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. This is the Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.